Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not a pop 80s guy.
You're more like Def Leppard
like
80s, stuff like that.
Synthesizer stuff.
Okay, I got you. This is just a corn fest.
This is happy-go-lucky music.
Wake me up before I go.
Damn right.
Okay, now
wake me up
because I'm not going solo.
The only thing I didn't understand was the second go. Like, wake me up before I go makes sense. Before I go?
Well, yeah. It's one of the reasons why it doesn't work.
It's not wake me up before I go, girl.
It's an artistic, interpretation.
No, I told off before the show. I requested one thing. I said, I want Heavy D.
Now that we've found love?
Yeah, no.
There we go. Come on.
I said, got nothing but love for you. So I was like, I want uplifting. Yeah. So yesterday was a little more like hard rock, I feel like.
Uh-huh.
So I want a little Heavy D, got nothing but love for you. And then he goes, what about George Michael? Is that a little? I was like, no, I'm fine with that.
I mean, honestly, he was right there with like Madonna. I mean, a couple of, like Madonna, Michael Jackson, The Police, like 80s staple. No disrespect. I just hate the song.
That one. Okay. What was some of his other hits?
Careless Whisper. No, he had a couple good love songs. Which one?
Freedom.
Yeah, that song's terrible.
I don't know if I like
Freedom.
That one.
Freedom.
Yeah.
I won't let you. Ugh.
No. What's the best one? That one?
Faith. Faith.
Oh, yeah. That's
great. Gotta have faith.
Come on. And then the Limp Bizkit remix.
Yeah.
Really?
Do you like music at all? I can't tell.
I like corny music. I like my music, not your music.
That is corny music.
Yeah, but that's...
This is like too cool. Listen, you know it's really corny when BT hates it.
That's true. I'm a certified cornball. I admit it. I own it. I wear it. I'll take it. Just not that song.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the State of New York Baseball. It's crazy to me. It'd be bad enough if you had one of these teams struggling right now.
No, that would be great.
Yeah, well,
if it was the team that usually struggles.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I'm not going to lie. What? Honestly, on Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah. This had to be the day, right?
Well, Yanks getting shut out again.
I know.
Did get shut out. Mets had the 4-1 lead. I'm like, oh, man.
Well, especially after you just harpooned the Yankees for 4 hours when I was off.
And
it was like on a tee for you the next day.
Oh, man. I couldn't wait to come in. As a matter of fact, I was getting texts from listeners of the show, friends, but like, listen, I can't wait for 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah. How did it work out for you?
And then the Mets obviously blow that lead, and that was with both teams. But isn't it bizarre that both these teams, the parallels, dude, all year long. Yanks, Mets, way up. And then all of a sudden, they both hit their three-game losing streak, or get swept for the first time together. Four-game losing streak, five-game losing streak. Now, Yankees, six-game losing streak, but the Mets, five-game, together. Like, what is going on here?
Well, again, that's undeniable. It has been a very similar path that they both plotted out so far here. But I think we all know, when we put on our rational hat, which even you and I are capable of doing once in a while.
Yes.
I think we both know that this is temporary. This is not the real Yanks, and this is not the real Mets.
Right.
Now, a little cautionary flair. I don't know that the great start by either team was necessarily the real Yankees or the real Mets either. They're definitely not this bad, but maybe they really weren't that good.
All right, here's the way that I would put it. I think the Yankees' concerns are legitimate relative to being a World Series winning team.
I would agree.
I think the Mets' concerns are legitimate relative to being the premier team in their division. Like, the Mets are not, we talked about this earlier, but just to repeat it, the Yankees have nothing to prove in the regular season. It doesn't mean that they might not be in a dogfight for the AL East or whatever, but the Yankees are going to the postseason. They go every single year. We hold them to the World Series standard. So when I look at them and I'm saying, grading them on a World Series curve.
Mm-hmm.
With the Mets, it's not like that. Now, obviously that they should be in the mix to win a World Series with the money that they spent, bringing in Juan Soto, sure. But before they get to that level, they've got to show that they could put away the Braves, for goodness sake, a team that came into this series 13 games back of them. So I think the Mets' concerns, we know they're going to be a playoff team, so it's not like, oh, the Mets stink all of a sudden. They're going to be under 500. I'm not going to go that nuts with this team. I still think they're a very good team. But I think their concerns are real as far as it pertains to being the premier team in the National League East.
I think this is a good day to do it. Every once in a while, I like to go to a model here on projections, incorporating what's happened, what will happen, who you play, who you've already played, strike the schedule. Right now, you want to start with the Yanks or the Mets. Projected wins and projected percentage division title.
Okay, both. Yanks.
Yankees. Give me, well, I want you to guess. What projected amount of wins right now Yankees would be?
93.
Low. 96.2.
Okay.
Okay. That strikes me as the tick high to be quite, you know, I think it'd be more 94 if I was betting, but 96.2, okay.
And now remember, their number, I think, coming in the year was like 88 or something.
Yes, well, because that was part of our over-unders there. Yeah, it was definitely below 90, you're right. Projected percentage of divisional supremacy for the Yankees would be what percent?
I'm bad at this. I would probably go, I would go like in the 70s. So let's go 76%.
Actually, a really good guess. Right now, the Yankees are 80%.
Okay, I was going to go higher, but I don't know how they do it. Okay, fair
80%.
Enough.
Well, you got to figure, if you're presumed to win 96 games, it's going to be high. But good job with most of that. All right, let's get to the Mets here. Projected amount of wins for the Metsies right now. Going into a very important game against those Bravos.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Now, remember, the Mets number was higher coming
in. Yes, it was. What was the number, 91 or 92?
Yeah, I think it was around that. I'm going to go right around. I'm going to go 91 wins.
Low, 93.2. Okay. What do you think their percentage of divisional supremacy is right now?
Okay, so the only like heads up I have on this is yesterday somebody was telling me the Mets were, now this is yesterday before the game, they were like still minus 190 to win the division.
Okay.
I'm going to give you my feel on it. I don't know how you could say it's more than 50%
right
now.
So good instincts here. Yeah. Keep going. So give me a number.
Yeah. I would go, God, to win the division.
Division winners.
40%?
48.3.
Oh, that's higher than I thought. The Phillies are one game back, and they're the Phillies.
And the Phillies are higher at 49.6, and the Braves, 2.3. percent.
I mean, they are, the Braves are.
Yeah, no, Braves are in trouble. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Braves got to get hot for a while.
They're getting healthier. Their run differential, by the way, plus 18. So that would be indicative of they're not as bad as their record says that they are. Plus they're getting healthier. But I mean, they're 11 games back and they're still six games under 500.
There's a lot of baseball to go.
Right. But here's the thing. They play the Mets, who they own, you know, another five times here over the next week or so.
Good time to play them if the Mets don't get turned around soon.
Well, right. So what if the Mets go 2-8 over the stretch against the Braves and Phillies? All of a sudden, dude, it's going to feel totally different next week.
So interesting. Just a little side thing. Not that you're saying you think they're going to go 2-8, but, and maybe this is an interesting element of the Yankee-Met fan dynamic.
Yeah.
Like, they're capable of it the way they're playing. It doesn't even enter my mind that the Yankees might win two of the next 10.
Right, you expect them to win.
I don't know if I expect them to win 8 of 10. I don't know, because they don't look great, right? They are pretty much a one-man machine with Judge right now. But, like, 2-8 to me seems, even the way they've looked, which is awful, unfathomable. You allow that to creep into the mindset a little bit here.
They've already lost the first two. They've got an opener going Friday. They're facing Strider tonight. Coming into the series, I said this, I am not afraid of the Braves, which was bucking that Mets fandom fear, like, oh, the impending doom that Evan and others had, like, oh, I don't know, the Braves, nope.
Yeah,
Braves
Evan always has that.
The Braves, dude, if you're scared of the Braves when they're 13 games back and 8 games under 500, I mean, what are we doing here?
That's a good
and
point.
Yet you see it play out the way that it did. I never felt it once in that game until there was bases loaded when, you know, right before Ozuna, of course, hit the bases clearing double. But now, I think when you look at what the Mets taking on water, all the injuries, where they're at, the opener going into Philadelphia, what's happened in this series so far, like, all right, if the Mets win tonight, that calms everything down. A single win tonight, salvage this game, don't get swept. Stop me if you've heard that before. All they have to do is win a game in Atlanta.
Yeah, I've heard that many years.
Right, so salvage this final one. Okay, deep breath. Now maybe they go take two out of three from Philly, and all as well. Come back home against Atlanta.
All systems go, season stabilized.
You're good to go. Like, I could see a realistic path to where they go 5-3 over the next 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
But if they lose tonight, opener tomorrow, you could easily see that they lose 2 out of 3 to the Phillies and then come back home and you're still hoping for a split, and then you'd be 3-7 over that 10-game stretch against this team.
I would be very interested. And again, I don't know that it'll get to this point, and I don't hope that it does. Let's say they lose today.
Yeah.
Let's say they lose 2 of 3
in Philly.
Philly. Now you come home, right, and that's what you mapped out.
Right, you'd be 1-5 in the first 6 games.
Now, and then, because the Yankees heard some boos the other night,
right,
and rightfully so. I wonder, and the Met fans have responded to Cohen's, you know, hey, plea or demand or edict, whatever. Hey, show up. Yeah, I'm giving you everything you want. Show up. And they have been 35,000 strong for the most part. Mets attendance has been great. If that first game back at home off a 1-5 stumble is sloppy, do you hear some murmurs, some groans, some disenchantment? I'm not saying they turn on them, but
no, I think
would it echo what's been going on at the Bronx here in some booths?
I think out of the gate, you'd hear the encouragement the first game back and maybe try to uplift this team. But, I mean, I think if guys don't start getting the job done, then, yeah, maybe you are going to hear some. And plus, it's the Phillies. You'd be coming off of 1-5 Braves and Phillies, and then you have the Braves in town. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. Hey, it is a big, big regular.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Season game for the Mets in this huge stretch of NL East opponents. BT and Sal on the fan. Let's get back to the phones here. Mario's in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on? Good call, guys, as always.
How are you? What's up?
Yeah, good, good, good. Just a little bit, very interesting. I'm feeling 2 points I got to make, and then I'll listen to your response. First of all, I'm feeling a little bit good about the Yankees because of the turnaround in the pitching. So I think they're not going to pitch maybe as good as they are now, but they're pitching a lot better, and we know they're going to hit. That's going to happen. And the second thing is, what's flying under the radar is Giancarlo Stanton coming back 4 for 8.
Yeah, you know, and 2 of those hits were, you know, kind of off the end of the bat, you know, up the middle right field, and hey, better than nothing, so I'm not going to give him back. But
exactly.
It's good to have Stanton back, but let's see if he stays on the field healthy.
Yeah, but so far, so good.
Yeah.
You figured he was going to look terrible in the beginning, and then he hasn't.
I agree.
You know, well, I don't know what made you think he was going to look terrible? He came back healthy, like... He's been Giancarlo Stanton. It hasn't helped the offense,
yeah, but
unfortunately.
It takes a while. You haven't played for a while. You figure it's going to take a while to get back into the swing of things, right? So that's a good thing. Second thing is, when I look at Wells and Volpe, I think we're a little hard on Volpe. You know, he's the number 20th pick. He's not a star, but he's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at his numbers, he's projected 18 homers and 80 RBIs. That's like second or third in the American League and for second baseman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for shortstop.
Yeah.
Secondly.
Yeah, but hold on a second, Mario. Mario, it's deeper than that, right? Again, you know, whether he's 21st or 10th or first-round pick, dude. First of all, he's first-round pick. And
yeah,
I know,
but I'm number 20. It's not that high.
It's the first round, though, is my point. You know, there's 50 rounds after it. So he was expected to be pretty much a star. And maybe he gets there. I don't think he does, but we'll see. But the real thing is, I think that there's an assumption, thanks for the call, Sal, that, like, the shortstop position is weak around baseball. I'm looking at some of these numbers. Well, we are top heavy, right? You know, with the big names, with Whit, Gunnar, Henderson. Jacob Wilson for the A's is hitting .359. Brendan Donovan for St. Louis hitting .323. Pena, who's been a little up and down, postseason hero a couple of years ago for the Astros, won the MVP, hitting .321. Garcia for the Royals hitting .318. You know, Trey Turner, he is a star usually, hitting over .300. And then you've got 3 or 4 guys in the .290s. Like, Anthony Volpe right now has the... about like the 25th best average for shortstops.
You want to know what's insane? And I shouldn't even bring this up because I'm sure a lot of people missed it. And if they did hear it at the time, they forgot about this. But about a year ago, maybe early last season, Volpe was on his absolute tear. And Lindor was in his early season funk.
Yep.
to a point where some were questioning, you know, whether you should hit from the left. No. So listen to how insane this is, what I said. I remember having this debate. I don't know about with you. We probably brought this up on the air, but on Baseball Night New York for sure.
Yep.
We were going over which shortstop would you rather have.
Yeah, that and came up on, I still get clapped at with on social media, so it came up here somewhere.
And I was like, what are you kidding me? Like, Volpe. Like, at that time where Volpe, remember, the way he started so hot, or at least I thought that was going to be the beginning of the ascension to superstardom. Like, that's how hot he started. And you're factoring in Lindor's money and the other slow start, and he didn't take off to the MVP type year. Now that sounds completely asinine. You wouldn't know what you're talking about if you even said that. So I got that one completely wrong, but it just shows you where at least I thought, and I know I wasn't alone, of what Volpe could be versus where he's gone in even just a short year. Like, think about
it. I got that wrong too. I mean, no surprise when I'm saying he should abandon one side of the plate to hit. So I mean, obviously, I got everything wrong with Lindor.
It was twofold, and even though I thought Lindor was good, how could you not want the potential and young?
Yeah. Well, because I hadn't seen that, and this is old story stuff, but I hadn't seen the Cleveland production yet. Then I factored in not that he was old, but trending toward 30s. Then the money, and then Volpe's age, and Volpe's early ascension, and then projected ascension. It was actually pretty easy to get that wrong at that point.
Yeah,
we both did.
But it's just insane. And now you wouldn't even entertain the thought.
No, but I will say Lindor's been cold.
Yeah,
not to change the conversation. It's Lindor all night. But I was it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's 31.
He's a big part of the problem right now.
He is. Yeah. I mean, Alonso's taking heat. Soto's taking some heat with certain aspects. The other night, the blunder on the base, whatever. Lindor is hitting .220 over his last 31 games with an OPS in the high 600s. This is not to just destroy Lindor.
Did you see his comments after the game?
I did. I love what he said.
Me too.
He said, hey, you're talking about specifically the leadoff hitter?
Yeah, hard to win games with leadoff hitters not getting on base.
He has always been a leader. That's why he's the de facto captain. He's done that many times. Stands in his locker like a big boy. And that's why I had a little bit of a gripe with Soto the other day when at the same spot in front of his stall, he said it's the umpire's fault for not getting his fist up in the air quick enough, saying it was out.
And now Lindor just actually has to get on.
Yeah, he'll wake up.
Alex is in Stamford, Connecticut. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Al.
Hey, BT Sal. Thanks for taking the call, guys. Not to really continue to harp on Volpe, I want to preface that obviously it's the whole lineup is kind of falling apart, but I think we have to realize, too, we have a 24-year-old shortstop who has World Series experience. And I want to see what you guys take is why are the Yankees so opposed to, say, sending him down to AAA for a little bit?
I don't think they have anybody better. Stretch, who's better?
Not
who's
even better,
short?
But he's got 5 walks in 30 games. It's like we can clearly see the approach is messed up. So it's not necessarily better. It's like, hey, let's get this guy going right. He's got some depth. And there was a guy, again, not to compare the ceilings, but Alex Rodriguez at one point got sent down to AAA to get him right. So I just want to see what you guys think of why the Yankees are so opposed to doing that.
Well, because I think it's a good question. I think that there is enough evidence, and I wouldn't vehemently disagree with this as much as I'm disappointed in how he's looked so far outside of last night. And I know he does lead the shortstops with 9 errors, but usually you send out a player when he's just unreliable, mechanically broken. Now, I don't like his mechanics. I don't know that he's broken, or he's just lazy, bad attitude, and he's just a mess and he's swimming, which obviously he has an amazing attitude, terrific young man. I mean, he's still a good defensive shortstop with wheels and with some sneaky opposite field power. And they justify in their minds, all right, I probably agree with this. because I don't know who else will play shortstop. In their minds, they justify we can tweak what we need to tweak in real time rather than banishing him to the minors. Now, maybe that time was a year or two ago. I don't think that time is now.
I think they've missed the boat on that. Now, they might have then sacrificed, because of all the reasons you said, not wanting to send him down. Okay, we could fix this, we could tweak that or whatever, let him learn here. And when you do that, the trade-off is risking having a mediocre player, as opposed to let's send him down, get him reset, get him back to the level we expect, and then have him come up and flourish here at the big league level. The other thing is, I think his biggest issue is his lack of confidence. If you send him down, now I don't know this, but there's the risk that you're running. You send him down, you could potentially destroy him. If he's lacking confidence already,
yeah,
a guy who's been here for 3 years, played in the World Series a year ago,
mm-hmm.
You're going to send him down now. What's that going to do to his confidence? Some people could respond well.
Yeah.
Some people might go the other way. I don't know, but there's a chance that you could potentially ruin him if you did that.
I mean, there's always a chance. I think it would have more of a pot. Now, again, they're not doing it, but it would not break him. I think his best asset is his temperament and his character and his makeup. Because think about this, guys. When he made the team, you know, Peraz was supposed to be the starting shortstop, and he played amazing. Now, it's spring, and you're seeing primarily fastballs and guys who aren't going to be in the majors right away, blah, blah, blah. But he hit the hell out of it, and he looked like a dynamic athlete running. And then when he played his first year, 20-plus bombs, 20-plus steals, gold glove, even if he wasn't Ozzie Smith, he still won the gold glove.
And a lot to build from there.
Correct. So, like, I think I wish there was more Jeter in terms of hitting in him. I do think that there's a little bit of Jeter in his makeup.
I know, but you can't say that when he's butchering plays in the World Series and in a big spot. Like, last night against the Angels, not really a big spot. But in that moment, it was.
Yeah.
Team struggling, guys on base. Like,
you got to make the play.
He is
no excuses.
The Jeter
for that.
Comparison should be out the window, because Jeter handled the moment better than anybody, and Volpe's been the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, again, just to be clear, it's the loosest possible Jeter comparison. Now, I do see him show, and I don't mind this, he shows a little more visible frustration than, I mean, Derek never did, but I've seen Volpe spike his bat once in a while, spike his helmet. You can see he's wearing it. You want to tell me he needs a mental reset? Sit him down today. Doesn't have to start every game.
Yeah, I think we're beyond the point of sending him down.
Captain Lou.
Yeah.
Is a proud Stepanak grad?
That's right.
Captain Lou is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Captain Lou Albano.
Catholic high school.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Me neither. What did he play? Did he wrestle? Did he actually was on the wrestling team?
I don't know.
He had to play football. I think I read that he did play football, but I did not know he was a Stepanak. What's the nickname again? I'm forgetting. Crusaders. There you go.
What's the deal with the rubber bands on his face, you think?
He's original. He's got style. He's unique.
It's weird, though, right?
You think?
Yeah.
I mean,
I used to love Captain Lou. I liked him when he played Mario. And we've talked about this, I think, before in the TV show Mario Brothers.
I don't remember him doing that. I don't remember us ever talking about that. He was in...
I might have brought it up before. It was probably you were too older. You were old enough, too old for it. I was just young enough. It was right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
They turned, the Super Mario Brothers Nintendo game.
Yeah, I love the game.
Yeah, they turned that into a TV show, and he was a... Hoff, if you could look up the intro to that. I know. Yeah,
are you serious?
Oh, dude, yeah. He was in... There was somebody that played Luigi. I have no idea who it was.
Yeah.
But Captain Lou played Mario, and they came out. They had this intro song and dance to it, and then I think it would warp into a cartoon.
Okay.
Of the Mario Brothers show.
Did he have the rubber bands as Mario?
That's a good question.
I don't think
that
he did. By the way, I was...
It's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show!
Hold on, we got it.
Yeah, hang on one second. I was informed that he was a track and field star and the captain of the football team.
Others who get all the fame. If you think it's in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers.
Hooked on the brothers.
You
got to
watch the video.
I'm sure,
but you got to love that song.
You got to love how at some point, probably late 80s, early 90s, everything morphed into like a corny rap.
Yeah, right.
Everything.
Yeah, that is true, too. It's amazing what they did, all the spinoffs and taking video games at the TV shows. Like, who would think that would work?
Is that the most popular video game of all time? Super Mario Brothers?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that.
Yeah, I'm not.
Like,
I'm not.
If you ask me,
yeah,
it's certainly one of them.
Like Donkey Kong, Space Invaders, you know.
Right. Those are ours. But then now, like with what? Like Halo?
Well, Fortnite.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still big, I guess.
So you're into that news,
right,
sir. Yeah. All right. Now, we've been talking about Volpe all day. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Back to your calls. Both the Yankees and Mets struggling here. What the hell is going on with our baseball teams? But I want to have to go back and look at our interview last year. We had Cashman on last summer. It was a little less than a year ago. I think we were filling in for Evan and Tiki. We had him on.
It was July, late July.
Late July.
Right before the deadline.
Okay, right before the trade deadline. So even better. But I remembered asking Cashman about Volpe specifically and his inconsistency. So let's listen back to this clip from last time we had Brian Cashman on the show. Go ahead, Al.
And why do you think Anthony Volpe has been so inconsistent? I was saying he's on the verge of superstardom to start this year. You can clearly see the potential in him as a ball player. It's now been a year plus with Volpe where he's shown some ups and downs. Why has he been so inconsistent?
Hey, the young player finding his way in the major leagues. I mean, he had... probably less than 50 games at AAA when he earned the right to be our everyday shortstop, and so he wasn't a finished product. And I agree with you. I think he's capable of a lot. I think he's providing a lot, and I think there's a lot more upside there on the bat than he has been able to show consistently. But obviously, you're seeing a closer version probably of what he is right now in the most recent few weeks, especially since the All-Star break. Listen, this is a hard game, and even though you have all the credentials and the ability as a young player, unlocking them and tapping them into them as a consistent guy, it becomes more and more difficult. So it doesn't matter if you're a pitcher or a hitter. You've seen that story told time and time again, and sometimes it takes longer than we all would want. Look at Austin Wells, for instance. Mm. Austin Wells is now like earning the right to be considered to hit in the middle of our lineup. With a team that's one of the higher runs and scoring programs in the MLB. And earlier in the year, he was struggling. And last year when he got called up, it was a struggle. And he's an offensive profile bat ahead of his defense per se. He's worked his tail off on the defense, but. Yep. This guy's starting to really swing the bat on a consistent basis and give us comfort. So it just takes time. It's a hard game.
First of all, I hate the excuse it's a hard game.
Yeah, that bothers you.
Because it's a hard game for everybody. We're not comparing Anthony Volpe to Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle. We're comparing him to his peers in the big leagues. It's a hard game. We're not comparing him to minor leaguers or little leaguers. Oh, it's a hard game. No crap. That's why you're getting paid millions of dollars. It's Major League Baseball. Oh, baseball's hard. Oh, really? Well, that's what makes you so special. So how come the other guys who it's also hard for are doing better than your guys? That's the issue. Now, I do think it's interesting, BT, that was about a year ago. Here we are a year later.
Yep.
Also with Austin Wells, you want to throw him into the mix.
I was going to say that, yeah. Yeah. Here we are. But it's hard. Baseball's hard.
Okay, the main thing that I took from that, development. Less than 50 games at AAA. Also, at that point, he's saying, well, he's been up here a year and a half. So, and Volpe must have been in whatever kind of hot streak there because Cashman was saying this is more what we expect him to be. Since then, fast forward a full year, he has not been that. So now it's not a year and a half. Now it's 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Like, at what point is he going to be what you expect him to be? And I could give you the endless examples, Cash, of all the other guys before that you haven't developed properly. So I think it comes down to 50 games or less than 50 games in AAA. They brought him up too soon, never put him back, and now they're just learning to live with him and trying to have him learn and grow at the major league level.
Listen, most of the thoughts from Yankee fans, unless you're, really old enough to have seen Mantle, most of the thoughts that now impact and shape opinions today go back to the dynasty. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Well, we haven't done this since, and we developed the core four back then. Well, I will say that when the Yankees called up Bernie Williams, Bernie's first year he hit .238, that second year he hit .280, then he hit .268 back in year three. It took him a while to get going. Now, Bernie was more raw. Bernie just hadn't played as much baseball.
Do you have any of his other numbers, like power numbers there?
I do. I got it all. So Bernie,
I'd be curious. Give me like second year, because .280 is not bad for a second year.
Second year played how many games here?
Like, could you see the climb, basically?
I'll give you his first full season, which was year three, because he played 85 games, then 62, then 139. Right. So year three, basically played every game. He had 12 home runs, 68 RBIs, 9 steals, caught 9 times, 106 strikeouts.
In his first full season?
His first full.
Yeah, not a good season.
No, I remember this. Yeah. Cause I remember Mel Hall used to terrorize him and Mattingly made him stop. Like, he was just in a rough spot. They made fun of him. He was an introvert. Bernie had a rough go. And let's see. His OPS was .734, which, by the way, it was higher than Volpe's last year, although this year Volpe's is higher. And he hit .268 with an on-base percentage of .333. Well, the next year, now we get to the 94, the strike, so a condensed season. Hit 289, 12 home runs,
right,
57
better.
Ribbies, 108 games, probably would have hit
so you could see 17 the uptick
or 18.
Clearly.
You could definitely see the uptick, and then 307, 305, yeah. And then he's burning.
Okay, so you could see the climb.
Yeah.
This is year three. Like, all right, last year he didn't get it done even after the hot start, Volpe. This year was supposed to be okay. Really, this is the year where he puts it all together. And maybe next year, sure, but now you're talking about 3 years will be in the books. Why after three full seasons would I believe season four is going to be the year where it finally kicks in for Volpe?
No, I'm not saying that you should. I mean, again, I share a lot of the same concerns that you and others do about Volpe. Now, there's been some wacky suggestions. Trade him. One guy said DFA him. I mean, what are we doing? What hallucinogens are you popping in this morning? Stop. Get rid of him? Cut him? It's the dumbest thing I've heard. But even when Paul O'Neill came here, then Paul, of course, was at the Reds. Paul was a platoon player. Paul did not really face lefties too often. And when they made the trade for Roberto Kelly, another young player, another prospect, that actually had more success really than Bernie did. I just gave you Bernie's numbers. I won't hit you with Roberto's, but just trust me. You just don't know. I'm less concerned about Volpe's numbers, and I'm more concerned about his approach. That's what at the plate.
I would be more concerned about the Yankees' inability to develop their younger players consistently.
And that's a bigger picture item, and I don't disagree with you.
Raj is calling from New Providence, New Jersey. What's up, Raj?
Yo, BT and Sal. Great show today, and happy Juneteenth.
You too, Raj.
Thank you. So check it. I'm an Astros fan, and I know we caught the Yankees, so to speak, last night. I don't think it'll last only because we're pretty banged up and we're playing in an easier division. But anyway, I think, I look at the American League this year. I mean, Detroit looks really good. And the thing is that they have a farm system that they have a lot of trade chips they can use to get some of these big names at the deadline. I don't see either us or Tampa making a big deal just because it's just not our style. So what do you think about the Yankees' aggressiveness this year? I mean, do you think they'll pull a George Steinbrenner, deal off a guy like Spencer Jones, maybe some of the young guys on the roster now to get some of the big names that could be available in the fire sale? What do you guys think?
Do it. You got to do it. I mean, you do it. You do what you have to do to put Aaron Judge in the best possible position to get to another one and eventually win a World Series.
Lombard?
That's the one thing I wouldn't. That's the one guy that I wouldn't get rid of. He just looks a little different. Forget about the numbers. Watching him in the spring, he got a lot of run. He played a lot.
We said the same thing about Spencer Jones a year ago.
That's true. That was said. I remember the thing about Spencer Jones a year ago was that he went, what was the amount? I don't know that it was the entire spring, but there was one point for a good chunk of the spring where Spencer Jones hadn't swung and missed at a pitch, which was the worry on him. You know, not enough contact. Like 35 or 4, somebody could look this up, but if you know what I'm saying, you know. It was something about his ability to make contact and not strike out him and just put the bat on the ball, which people didn't know if he could do. And if he could do that, well, now his prodigious power, his blazing speed, his rocket front arm, well, now that's more in play if he's actually putting the ball in play rather than within. Well, go look at what he's doing in the minors now. He's striking out a ton again.
Now it has to be the right piece. It can't be one of these unsure things or an inconsistent player. If there were a home run, like for me years ago with Luis Castillo, where I thought the Yankees definitively needed a top-end starter to go on in the postseason, try to win a World Series, I would have given up Anthony Volpe to get that.
I didn't want to do it because it was too early.
Understood, but I'm
too early.
Those are the type of moves. So, hey, sometimes they come back to bite you. I'm also more so for giving up the prospect. I even said the same thing with the Mets getting Javi Baez. Now, would I do that now? No. That I told you, it's one thing that bothers me about the baseball season with Pete Carl Armstrong, who's been the MVP of the National League, arguably the MVP of the National League.
Imagine, he's the favorite right now.
Imagine him being in center field, no less. The Mets need a center fielder. He's a center fielder with attitude, with that moxie, with power. Like, he's, if you could go sign any player right now, he's the one that the Mets would go hit on the free agent market. They had him. They drafted him. They were developing him. And they traded him for Javi Baez. But at the time, I respect going all in trying to win now, so I can't go nuts. And if I'm the Yankees, I would have done that years ago with Volpe and worry about it after the fact. Maybe get a different shortstop. Remember, if they would have traded Volpe at the time for Castillo, they could have signed any of those big shortstops that were hit the market.
Trevor Story, was that the year? Was Trevor Story available, or was that a different year? I feel like it may have been. I think it was, actually.
Story, like Turner, Seager.
Yeah, for sure.
Lindor was supposed to hit the market, but he didn't because the Mets traded for him and they kept him.
Those guys are always hurt. Seager's hurt again. Story's hurt again.
There was a different path.
Yeah, though there was. But that wouldn't have proven necessarily to be the right path.
Correct, but a different... Well, this hasn't because they haven't won. And even last year where I said I would have done Spencer Jones for Corbin Burns...
Mm-hmm.
This was before I think we knew about the Cole injury last year.
It was.
But and obviously before heels emergence and all that, but I felt like, man, if you could get Corbin Burns and try to really solidify yourself with the loaded lineup with Juan Soto there,
mm-hmm.
I would have done that. So I'd be all for it, but it's got to be the right move.
Yeah, and I'll tell you like something that now they're not going to get rid of him because they're obviously doing well and he looks like he's enjoying it. Like if you tell me that the Cubs fall apart and they want to trade Tucker and they want Lombard, I make the trade.
Yeah, right.
You know, with some if there's some backroom assurance that he really wants to be a Yankee and he's going to sign the deal, I can't give up Lombard, have him bounce like Soto did.
Right.
But like that's, of course, I'd give up Lombard in a situation like that. But for a guy who's got like 20 home run potential, but hits 220, 232, no way. Just a bowl, like a righty bat for a little pop, no chance.
Well, FIFA Club World Cup tickets to give away coming up at 12:20, so stay tuned for that. We were just talking during the break about that Cashman interview because I forgot what had happened during the rest of that. And he, you said something to him. You asked him a question about something, and he responded to you. Well, he's going to have you drug tested, jokingly.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I guess I used to have that part. That was funny. I asked him about, listen, you got to go back to, don't worry about it, Hoff, a year ago where we were all wrapped up in like, where do the Yankees still have the urgency, like where, yeah, we know they want to win, but are they possessed and driven to win the way they used to be?
Right, they're coming off you.
They do anything.
They're coming off you. They didn't make the playoffs.
Correct.
Too.
And, you know, I'm not going to read you the quotes, but I brought up Gallo and Hicks, why did it take so long to basically get rid of these guys? And, you know, I said what I said. And then I guess he responded, let me see. Yeah, quote, well, I guess I'd have to get that drug tester over there and let you pee in a bottle so we could get that sample tested. And then he says, I'm obviously joking, but at the end of the day, I would provide, look at the roster, the expenditures, and then he got into the GM speak there.
We got to get Cash back on. Been a while.
Well, honestly, I love talking to Cash back.
Yeah.
I do. Now, he could ramble, but well, I'm also a rambler, so I identify rambling, so you got to know when to cut him off.
I like hitting him with a quick question. Let him ramble. I like that. All right, BT and Sal, Yankees, meat of the order. Are we doing that here or not?
Yeah, we'll do it right here. Here you go. Time for the meat of the order, brought to you by, of course, Borsett. Not a whole lot happening for the meat of the order last night, and really, it's been the same song and dance for a while here. So the Yankee bats have been a little stifled, obviously. Just scratched out a couple of hits. You know, Belly obviously went yard, which is great. Meat of the order there. And same with Jazz Chisholm. But outside of that, meat of the order, a little quiet, again, for the Yanks. So, when you're looking for the meat for your order, choose Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Nick is calling from South Carolina. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Sal. Good to hear you back, pal.
Thank you. Where have I been?
Or is he on Mars?
You know, you were off the, I should say BT.
Yes.
BT, when BT was off, I was listening to you, and I agreed with you. I couldn't get through. But how you were talking about the younger players and how they don't develop anymore. I think you're seeing it with Volpe. You're seeing it with Wells. You're seeing it with all these young kids coming up. They have a great first few months when they come up because nobody knows them. Pitchers don't know them. Nobody knows. All they have is some stats. And they take advantage of it. But then once the league starts to figure them out, you see what they are. And I think, BT, you're right on the money. Volpe's he's a good shortstop with an average bat, but he's never going to be, you know, anything close to a superstar. And I think Peraza, you could make the same case. You know, they've got it. Wells,
Yeah, Peraza's another one.
Was enamored with Wells.
Peraza's just 90. He's just 90 good.
He can't hit Peraza. Yeah. He'll never hit.
Yeah, and you're right. But Wells, everybody has gotten enamored with Wells as a new starting pitcher. I don't see it. I really don't see it. I loved when they started Ben Rice last night because this is what I don't understand about the Yankees. And please, if you guys can explain it to me.
Go ahead.
Ascara got drafted by Baltimore as a first baseman. They got him catching. Rice was drafted as a catcher. They got him at first base. Why do the Yankees do this always? Why do they reinvent these guys in positions that they're not? It's not their natural position. Jazz Chisholm is a second baseman. What is he doing at third? You know, he's got a rocket for an arm, and when he was at second, I don't know if anybody else noticed, but this man turns more double plays when he's at second because he's got such a quick release and a rocket for an arm.
And he's an athlete, and his footwork's quick, too, so he's out of the way.
His footwork is tremendous.
Yeah, it is. No, I like him at second. I do. Yep.
You know, I just don't understand.
He's a second baseman.
What are the Yankees thinking?
You know, I don't like it. Oops, sorry, Nick, and thank you for the call.
Bud.
A lot of good stuff there. Okay, so there's a lot there. I don't like the idea of playing guys out of position. The Mets used to do this. Used to drive me up a wall. The Yankees cannot do this. Even Ben Rice last night, I understand trying to work him in.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have Ben Rice start catching now? This is the New York Yankees.
How about you do it when he won five straight?
Or how about you do that, I don't know, in the minors? Get him used to it, doing it regularly down there, and then come up and he can catch, he can play first, or whatever it may be like.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't understand it.
I just think that there's a lot of holes, and because the roster has not been built great for a while now, so that their internal option in their minds, and I don't love it either, but... Hey, let's see if the bat plays and maybe sacrifice a little defense and just shuffle guys around where they really don't belong, probably.
See, right, same thing with Jazz. Now, he could play third, but wouldn't you rather have, I don't know, a third baseman play third and have Jazz play second?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.